Hi, welcome to this Grandma's Life podcast. I'm your host, V.C. Ellis. Get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with me as we're exploring growing old in a never-changing world. Today is June 30th, 2023, and this is episode 36, Church Kitchen Time. Man, June 30th. Can you believe it, guys? I mean, sometimes, like, I think several people earlier this year said that March seemed to last forever and ever and ever. I'm not sure that I can say that that applied to me. I don't know. I'm feeling more and more as I get older, like the end of the toilet paper roll. And if you're not familiar with that, if you think about it, when you first start a roll of toilet paper, if you want to get, say, 5 squares of toilet paper, you pull it just a little bit and you get it. But by the time you get toward the end of the roll, it goes faster and faster to get the same number of squares. And that's what I'm feeling like as I get older. It's like my roll is going faster and faster and faster. It's June 30th, and that means literally the year is half over. So farm happenings, we've had some more stormy weather, but it wasn't too bad this time. Thank God. I won't lie. After the first two storms and as much damage as they did to us and so many other people around us, it weren't even tornadoes. They were just straight line winds, but there was a lot of damage to some people. There's two different people that I can think of that literally, and they've got the beautiful big trees in the yard, and some of the trees had actually gone through the roof and speared the bed they were sleeping in. But both, in both cases, neither one of them were in the bed, thank God. But there was so much wind damage done around here. I'm still seeing I found a new place yesterday that had some wind damage. Looks like the whole north wall of a gas station up in Ulagaw was blown out. I'm not exactly sure what the deal was. I just know that it's covered with plastic now and not a wall. So I have to admit, when the storm blew through the other night, I was stressed. Tom had already lowered taken the wheels off the pen, you know, but my ducklings that disappeared for a couple of days still just freak out all the time. They're the most neurotic, frantic ducks I've ever had, because they've been through two pretty wicked storms and they just don't know what to expect anymore. I don't know. Oh, and I've got one little duckling. So because I had this new storm coming in, and as I was going to bed, they were saying, all right, guys, this one could be another bad one. So I'm trying to figure out how to take care of this stuff. Well, my littlest ducklings that are just a couple weeks old, I didn't know what to do with them. And because I've been putting them in like a little playpen type thing with no bottom to it, which works out a lot for ducklings because there's no bottom and you can just move the playpen little by little. And I call this a playpen. It's just little plastic walls that are all kind of meshed together. You can make it any shape you need it to, square, round, whatever, you know. And you put the food and water in there, and ducklings are messy. So not having a bottom was good because they could get into grass like they wanted to and they can do all that kind of stuff. But it was not, and then I'd put a board over the top of it, you know, in case it rained, or just keep the sun off of them, keep the heat off of them and stuff like that. But with the storm, and I didn't expect this storm, even after they had upgraded it, to be as strong as the first two, because those two were just, they were odd storms. They just really were. But it was still going to be too much for a plastic playpen type thing with a board on top of it. And they were getting too big for the small brooder. And obviously, you know, my big brooder was just absolutely blown apart. So I put my little ducklings in with my bigger ducklings. And there's only a month difference in their age. But boy, the size difference is amazing. But so far, they seem to be doing pretty good. I've got one little duckling, and he's attending to stand off by himself. And I can't tell if he has vertigo because he kind of turned his head and does stuff with his head. And he looks like he's dizzy. But then again, he's always cheeping, and he's noisier than the rest of them because he's cheeping. So I'm wondering if he's even blind because he's always, you know, Marco Polo, trying to figure out where the rest of his pen mates are. So I don't know what's going on with him. Otherwise, he seems to be relatively healthy. He eats and drinks just fine, but he has a way about him. He looks like he has vertigo all the time. And I don't know if that's because when I put them out there, I mean, the storm this time, it didn't blow the pen. But I don't know, maybe something in the storm messed him up, or maybe he was already that way and I hadn't paid attention. It's hard to say, but we got through the last storm just fine. I think we got a total of 8/10 of an inch of rain for that, which is, that in itself is good, because even with the storms we've had and the measurable rain we've had, we're still way below on rain for the year. We usually have, I think, about 46 inches of rain each year, and a lot of our rain comes in the spring, winter and spring, and we're only at about 10 inches so far for this year. So I don't know, it could be another drought year, you know, it's hard to say. And I've got the door open because I'm the only one here except a bunch of animals. So I hear a thunk, and it was just the cat trying to get down from where he was. But I never know, because if I close the door, then Beethoven will scratch on the door and he'll want in and stuff. So I just try keeping out. Like I said, I'm the only one here, so I got to kind of keep an eye on things. Well, Kinsey, my granddaughter, she got a job. It's kind of interesting. Getting jobs is different now than it was. I mean, when I was a teenager, you know, you go down to the restaurant and get a waitress job and stuff. And if she and her friend had tried that, and it didn't quite do things as she didn't have good success with it. It wasn't like it was bad, but she just didn't have as much success with it. So she was going through websites where, if I understand, I wasn't completely understanding, but she was filling a bunch of stuff out online. She was filling out applications online, but I think she went to a particular website that wanted a resume, because she kept coming in to me going, "Grandma, I don't know what a resume is." And I'm going, "Well, you don't really need a resume. You're 16 years old. Well, they want to know." And I'm going, "Well, okay, put down this and this and this experience," because she did have experience. She used to work with us in the farmer's market a few years ago. She has done some work with me when I was doing Kinsey's Candles. She does a lot of volunteering at the church. You know, she's done a lot of stuff. So I've told her all this volunteering is, you know, experience that she can write down. But finally, she got an interview a couple of days ago, and they hired her right away because, number one, she's intelligent and she's very cute. She's tiny. She's 5'1", 99 pounds, but she's tiny, but she is cute. And I'm not saying that as a grandma. It's just one of those things that if as a person who has run retail and other things like that, if I would hire somebody, I would hire her too, because cute kids, cute girls, that especially one that has a half a head on their shoulder, brings in customers. And so she got hired at the local grocery store. She just showed up to work just a couple hours ago. But even that, two or three times before that, trying to get, "Oh my gosh," she came in yesterday. She goes, "Grandma, do I have a life insurance?" I'm going, "What?" She goes, "It's on the website. It's making me fill out whom I have my life insurance with and who am I leaving everything to." And I said, "Well, can you bypass it and let them help you with that when you show up to work?" She goes, "No, won't let me do anything until I get there." I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, okay." So fake an answer, you know. So I'm hoping that they will help her get that straightened out when she showed up to work today, because she had a lot of questions and I didn't have answers for some of them. She goes, "I'm just 16. I don't know if I have life insurance." I said, "Well, a lot of times parents and stuff have life insurance on their kids." I said, when your dad and his brother were young, I had about a $5,000 on both of them. So if they died, I could bury them. But no, we don't have that. Oh, on a side note, look, you can actually see my eyes. I got new glasses, guys, and there's still a little bit of glare, but not too bad. I'm not the evil-eyed grandma anymore. So I'm glad for that, honestly, because that was really kind of upsetting me. What's the point of being on camera if you can't even see the person's eyes? It was worse than sunglasses. I don't know, in my opinion. So I got my new glasses, and I'm still trying to get used to them. The vision part's good. It's just they're fitting differently, and I'm having to, I even got them adjusted once. But I don't have the really bad glare, and you can actually see these old eyes now. So that's pretty cool in a lot of ways. Now I got to work with lighting some more. I put my partition up because I have this is my bedroom. So my bed's behind me, and I always put a sheet on the bed because I have a big dog that likes to climb up on the bed, and I've got the cat that likes to climb up on the bed, and I want to protect my bedspread. So I put a sheet on it. Well, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but the bedspread the sheet this week is got rainbows on it, and I don't necessarily want people to think that I'm all into that crap, because I'm not. I mean, I saw a meme that, and this is way off the subject again, but I saw a meme the other day, and it did remind me, you know, it was one thing, it's showing a person standing against a wall and another person with a great big tuba that engulfs the person, their head in the wall, against the wall. And the one against the wall is saying me trying to live my life. And the other one with the tuba that's in that person's face is saying LGBTQ, I can't remember what it was, propaganda. And so, and I feel that way. I feel like we've had so much of that crap shoved down our throat and I'm tired of it. I don't want, do you. I don't give a crap. Don't make me try to feel like I've got to adapt your lifestyle. Don't make me feel like I'm an asshole because you can't figure out even who you are. So maybe lost a few viewers just then. I don't care. That's the way it goes. But that's my sheet and I don't want to show it. So I've got one of these partitions behind me and it's still not quite right either. But I will work on my lighting now that I finally got my glasses under control and stuff. Kenzie's basketball camps are over for the summer, but softball league starts here in just a couple weeks. I mean, just the training, the practices and stuff, because in August they start school, you know. I think July 15 is their first day of practice. And this coach, he's funny. I like this coach. I really do. But the first night, thank God Kenzie can drive now and do it on her own. But the first night of practice, since it starts at July 15, he has a midnight practice. So Friday, July 14, everybody's going to start showing up just before midnight, you know, 11:30, 11:45, something like that. But he's going to have a midnight practice and it'll be officially be July 15 and he can officially have practice. And mainly on the first one, he just talks. And I mean, they do a little bit of stuff, you know, tossing the ball around and doing a little bit, but mainly he's just trying to gear them up for the season. But I would always take Kenzie and I'm thinking, oh man, this old lady, I am in bed by midnight, let alone staying up past midnight. So I'm really grateful that Kenzie can drive herself this year. That's going to be nice. But like I said, basketball camps are over now. She's going to be playing basketball pretty soon again. I'm telling you what, guys, watching that, she's got good natural talent. But when it comes to basketball, she gets the crap beat out of her on a regular basis. And I won't lie, it's hard to watch. And I have daymares of me kicking somebody's butt because they've hurt her. Because I mean, she's got a knee in the head. She's got the other day she had two kids that fell down on top of her while she was already flat. I don't know. There's a lot that you know. She's tough. And I'm not tougher than I'll ever be. That's for sure. But yeah, that's over. We're gonna doing it. All right. All right, this is another thing that's been kind of going on, and I've kind of been struggling with it because I've got these electric net fencing. I'm struggling with my pigs, and Waddle's got out two nights in a row. Like last night I had a business meeting online, and I get off of it to go do chores, and it's like 8 o'clock at night. And there's Waddle's running around. There's a couple of the piglets running around with her. And last night, I can't remember the night before I didn't do too much. Oh, cause it was church night. And I thought, well, it takes a long time. She needs grass. She wants grass. And I haven't put her on fresh grass in a while. And, she's wandering around eating grass and knocking things over, you know, just getting into everything. And you can't really coax her back until she's done and she wants to do what she wants to do. And I finally learned that. But last night I got her and the piglets moved to a new paddock. So they've got grass again. But even then, it takes a little bit to some of the crap she gets into. They must smell feed, and she was knocking crap over. She messed up one of my tables trying to get to some dog food that I had picked up so that she wouldn't eat the dog's dog food. But it didn't work. But I think we got her settled, and she's doing better now. And the piglets are pretty happy. They're still going in and out. That's part of what the problem is, too, is even with electric fencing, the lowest line is not charged. And those little guys, and they're getting bigger. And they can, most of the time, they slide right underneath the net and they can get in and out. But then when sometimes they forget that it's the bottom line, they try to go through the fence and they start freaking out and they tear up all the electric net fencing, you know. I mean, literally, it's torn up. My poles are bent. The strands themselves are getting torn up and disconnected. It's just, it's a pain. It really is. But I got them moved to a new place and hopefully, and there's a pretty good charge on it. So hopefully Hopefully it'll keep them in pretty good. I don't know. I did notice this morning that all the piglets were out, but they were over there in the old pen, over in the old paddock. Not the pen, but the paddock itself. They were all on the bare dirt, looking at me longingly, like, where's my food? How come you moved my home? You know, but they went back over there readily enough when I pulled out some, when I brought the food down to them. But when it's what this is kind of coming down to is I guess I'm going to have to sell these pigs, or the vast majority of them. Oscar, Oscar's still going to be an issue. He need right now, like this morning, he got up. Last night he got up and ran and did pretty good, and went to the Waller and was laying in it last night, and was happy. And I'm having to like water him with a water hose because he can't get to the 55-gallon barrel water. So I'm watering him with a water hose and keeping him stuff, but he couldn't get out of the Waller this morning. He can't even get out, and I can't leave him in the sun all day long. He can't get into the pig hut, you know. So I was out there with T-posts this morning and a tarp, tying it up so he can be covered. And I'm believing that's going to get me. At least he's in a Waller, and at least he's near the water, which is the barrel right next to it. But I don't know, and there's a lot of processors that won't process an animal that you can't, they're not up on their feet. So I've only done minimal research into it, but it's Oscar's struggling. He's not comfortable. We're not comfortable with, we feel like we're torturing him, but we don't, you know, you don't want to kill him. He's a good animal, but he just can't. Some days he walks and other days he can't even get up. So it's a struggle. I'm not going to lie. And Waddle's getting out 2 days in a row, and I understand it was my fault because I hadn't kept them in fresh grass and stuff. But with the electric net fencing being torn up so badly, and I'm thinking, and the price of feed. I've had money for feed for a while, but the money's getting low, and I haven't earned enough money to cover a lot of things yet. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to keep Yoda, the little male that I had gotten castrated, because he's just fight cute. And I know when I say that, even though he's fight cute, he is also a little boarding. Well, I guess I don't know what you call him now. I can't remember what you call him because he's been castrated. But he didn't have the traits that we wanted to, that would not be conducive to the Idaho pasture pig breed. And so I got him castrated. He's going to go in my freezer eventually. And now the blonde pigs, oh my gosh, they're looking good. And I kind of feel guilty about that because the spotted pigs, they were just flat cute. They're cute. They're all growing exceptionally well. But I'm looking at the blonde ones, and they're looking nice. They've got good length in their body. They're just as solid as real rocks, and they're just good looking little piglets. But so I think I'm going to keep one of the females. I say I was going to keep all five of the females, one spotted and four of the white, but man, I don't know if I can afford to feed for them for all this time. And then so because I was going to try to expand the flock. Well, if my boar is down and can't even get processed, that means I'm going to, or not, it can't even do his job. Not that he's a father of these piglets. I didn't want him breeding with them, but I could get another boar in or do something different. But I don't know. The whole thing's a mess. At this time, I think I'm going to put the word out that I need to sell three female white blonde pig over there, the female blonde pigs, and one spotted blonde pig, and Daisy and Waddles. Now, the Waddles, I'm going to put her as an excellent sow. She did an excellent job farrowing these piglets. This was her first farrowing, so I'm going to put her out there as a sow. Daisy. She's a big old fat girl, and I don't know what the deal. I mean, right now it's because she keeps stealing Oscar's food and stuff, but I think that's part of the reason she had that farrowing a few weeks ago or a couple months ago, whatever it was. And despite the fact that I wasn't feeding her any more than the other pigs, she's just round. She's very round, and I get the feeling she might have been too big to farrow good, but. So I don't ever want to lie to anybody. She's got good size to her, and she may have an excellent farrowing next time. But I will tell people that her first farrowing was not successful. Now Waddles is different. Her farrowing was very successful. So all of them up for sale. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep two of the piglets. I'm going to keep Yoda and one of the little blondes. Maybe not one of the blondes. If that other little spotted one, that other spotted one is a female too. I don't know. See, you can tell I'm still trying to figure it out. So regardless, it might make a difference on who actually comes and buys some of my piglets too. These are, mom and dad both are a registered breed for the Idaho Pasture Pig. And I would like to sell anything that you're going to use for a breeder, sell them for $200. No. Sell if their feeders are $200. If you need to, if you want papers and for the you know, to show their lineage and stuff, then that's, I'm selling it for $400. And so, but like I said, both the parents are registered. I just, you know, they haven't had any reason to register the piglets yet. All right, my three things. Well, the first thing is this podcast. I basically written it up yesterday, but I'm just now getting to it today. So always time I do that, that, you know, because my three things always changes, the date changes, you know. But yeah, I've got the number one thing is getting this podcast done and out. Number two is Friday errands. I got those done. I believe I'm done for the day. I go down to, I do on Thursdays, I do a menu grocery list and order groceries. And then on Friday I go pick up feed and I pick up the groceries and go to the dairy and do all that stuff and have lunch, you know. Usually, I mean, this is summertime, so I usually have lunch with Kinsey and I usually do Piloxing or something at the gym on Fridays too. I'm having a lot of trouble with one of my feet. Both of my feet are messed up. I've got the Achilles tendon is got tendonitis in it. And my foot, the back of my heel is very swollen. And some days I can do pretty good and I can even get a shoe on. And other days I can't even get a shoe on. And it's not even like I've done anything. Like last night I did all right doing the chores and doing stuff. And then in the middle of the night, you could tell it swelled up real bad and it just hurt to walk. So when I got up this morning, I thought, man, I can't do chores and go do Piloxing. So my three things were podcasting, Friday errands, and Piloxing, but I didn't do the Piloxing. And the other thing, one, Friday errands are done and podcast is in the works. All right, what I'm reading. Now, we finished the other part. It was a four-volume set with Edgar Cayce collection. And this particular one on the second one is Edgar Cayce on healing. This is Edgar Cayce. He gets into a trance. His wife will put him in a trance and stuff, and he gets reading. If you wanted reading, and in this particular case is like for healing or something, then you would set a time, like an appointment. You don't even have to be there. He can be in Pennsylvania and you can be in Florida or something like that. And he would do a reading for you and tell you what to do to get healed. Excuse me. And, so that's, this one is Edgar Cayce on healing. It's apparent, what I could tell is the story itself of each of these patients was written by Mary Ellen Carter. And then after she tells her story of the particular patients, William A. McGrary, MD, does a medical assessment. And so like on chapter one, this one's called The Lady Who Was Turning to Stone. Now I'll explain to you in a minute what the doctor says it was, but she felt like her whole body was turning to stone. She couldn't walk. She couldn't move. Everything was turning hard on her and she couldn't do anything. And she had gotten a reading from Edgar Cayce and he was telling her what to do to get over it. And she was doing better, but then she got back into the thick of things too quickly and too hard. And she was starting to regress again. And so he told her, he goes, rest sufficiently, play sufficiently, work sufficiently, but think constructively. And so I thought that was a good thing that he had read to that he had said to her. And that was the only thing I'll quote for his. But I will read to you about the medical commentary. They were talking about this woman turning to stone, and I didn't understand the thing at all. But it's called scleroderma. Is what they said that she had. And scleroderma is an autoimmune connective tissue and rheumatic disease that causes inflammation in the skin and other areas of the body. So, and then it says that nearly everyone who has scleroderma experiences a hardening and tightening of the skin. So that's what this woman was doing, is everything on her is turning hard and tight. Let's see. So on his assessment on page 166, He goes, the body then, from the Casey viewpoint, is a unit made up of billions of cells, each with a consciousness and each being composed in turn of billions of atoms, each of these also being points of consciousness or awareness of that of a type. All of these in their sum total and in the relationship with each other make up the greater awareness, which we individually call I, like I am, you know, that type of thing. Casey would have us believe that groups of cells, which we are known as organs and systems, act as separate forces within the body, which must coordinate with each other in the activity in a balanced homeostasis in order that we may experience what we call health. I think it's interesting, and these were, like I said, these were written, I don't know when this one particular one was written, I didn't write it down, but in the 60s and stuff, but I don't know. As I've gotten older, I'm learning that autoimmune is just rampant now. I mean, there are not very many of us that don't have an autoimmune, and some of us have more than one. I was told I had an autoimmune disease. He just didn't know which one it is. And I'm also wondering if it's that mine or not from tick bites. I have a few years ago, I think it was in 08, I was having severe joint pain and fatigue and stuff. And he put me on doxycycline for a year, and that helped for a long time, but then it came back. And then with the eczema that I had, that lasted for a couple of years or more. And so, and there's other, you know, there are symptoms of other autoimmune diseases. But if you think, I mean, there's just one family that I know of that all three of them have a different autoimmune disease of some sort. And I just think it's interesting that, yes, even though it was uncommon for have autoimmune disease back in these days, that was still there. But I also still maintain that a lot of the reasons we have autoimmune is because of what we've done to our food, what we've done into our environment, and not so much the environment, like, well, not just pollution, the stuff that we think is good that we've been, whenever I was a kid, the preservatives that were had first been put into food was shouted from the rooftops being one of the most wonderful things ever, because the food that you eat now can be kept for so much longer and you won't have to throw it away. And now we're finding out that all these preservatives were so bad for us and stuff too. I mean, and I understand cancer was around years ago too, but how many people do you know have had cancer? Why are autoimmune and cancer such a prevalent thing now? That's what I've got a lot more to think and study on that. But I mean, I have some of my own thoughts, but yeah. I'm in still re-listening to Atlas Shrugged. That's been kind of cool because, I mean, it is 64 hours long. And you get distracted and do different things. So even as I'm listening to it, part of it is because I know what's happening. I've known what's already happened in the story. So my attention has changed. I can focus on other parts of the story and not on other, you know, on some parts of the story where I did not on the others. And so I'm figuring out things and learning more stuff the second time around. I am looking for, it's going to be several months, but I'm looking forward to reading the reading it in hard in print form. So those are the two things. I think I'm also listening to the 10X thing. I'm just getting started on that. My quote of the day, and this is by James A. Garfield. And I want to read you a little bit of that. This is kind of interesting. I had an interesting conversation with Kinsey about this. James A. Garfield was the 20th president of the United States. He was born November 19th, 1831, and he was assassinated September 19, 1881, at the age of 49. He was almost 50. He was married with five children. He was a big brigadier general in the Union Army before, just as he was being elected to Congress. And so he went on to do Congress instead. As he was president, he was shot at a rail station. Now, I saw two different accounts. One of the accounts, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Charles J. Guiteau. They said he was a mentally ill man wanting revenge for an imagined political debt and to get Chester A. Arthur elevated to the presidency. And then another account named Guiteau as an embittered attorney who sought a consular post. So I don't know what his real reasonings were to shoot the president, but he did. But he was shot. But they say he mortally wounded Garfield aide in the White House for weeks. Alexander Graham Bell, inventor of the telephone, tried unsuccessfully to find the bullet with an induction balance electrical device. And best that I could tell, it was like a type of metal detector. But he didn't ever find, was not able to find the bullet to get it removed. And on September 6th, Garfield was taken to the New Jersey seaside. And for a few days, he seemed to be recuperating. But on September 19th, he died from an infection and internal hemorrhaging. And then a year later, Guiteau was executed by hanging for his crime. And so I was telling Kinsey, you know, I love looking this stuff up. I love my quotes. I've always loved my quotes. But now that I'm going down these rabbit holes of looking up and finding out a little bit about the people who do the quoting, good and bad. If you think about it, we all know some bad people have had to come up with some good quotes and stuff. But learning about them has been fascinating. So then I was telling Kinsey about that. She goes, they didn't teach us that in school. And I don't know that they didn't. She probably didn't pay attention. Because if you think about it, most of us, when we're doing history, it's very dry. It's dates. It's very cut and dry. This is what happened on this day and this is what happened on that day and stuff. And there's no story behind it. There's no feeling. There's no adventure. It's just cut and dry information. So she probably was told that James A. Garfield was assassinated, but she didn't care. I wouldn't have cared. But when I told her this story, she thought it was interesting. And I think that's kind of sad in some ways, because I thought the history was very boring when I was going to school too. But as I learned this stuff, that's interesting. You know, you learn stuff and want to dig in and learn more where you didn't necessarily when you were in school. And I understand that even with the research I was doing was pretty cut and dry, but there was a story behind it. And so, I don't know, it was interesting. And I thought that was pretty cool that Kinsey thought it was interesting too. All right, my scripture of the day is Genesis 49:1. And this one is, then Jacob called for his sons and said, gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. At this point, Joseph has had his life, you know, Joseph, the coat of many colors, and he has saved humanity in a lot of ways, because he saved the grain for them and everything. But we're not going down the story. But right now he's dying, and he wants to inform his sons that God will be with them and return them to the land of their fathers. Because if you think about it, Joseph was taken from his land and brought into Egypt to do what he was supposed to do. And reason I chose that scripture was the word gather. And he was wanting to gather his sons and tell them. Okay. So my main subject is about gathering. On Wednesday nights, we all three go, Kinsey, Tom, and I go to church. For years, I went to the ladies' class. There's a men's class. So Tom gets just men sitting and talking about the Bible and different aspects and what they think and how they feel about different parts. You know, I don't know what they talk about, but they have their own Bible study class and it gets pretty in depth and stuff. And two or three of the guys that come to these classes are highly educated in various aspects of the Bible. So Tom thoroughly enjoys going to Wednesday night. And I love the fact that he wants to go because as you know, he has trouble with depression and everything. So to find something he really enjoys going to, I want him to go to. Well, then Kinsey has gone from, you know, what they call PAWS now or something like the Awanas, I think is what it was called when she was going then. But now she's in youth and she goes on Wednesday night and is part of the youth group and stuff too. And for several years, I went to the women's meetings on Wednesday night. I've learned a lot. I enjoyed the in-depth Bible study and stuff. They've loved me through a lot of anger and frustration and hurt, and they've been good to me. And what we generally do is we get a study book, and every night we're supposed to do 15-20 minutes of this study book, the study guide. And then so the next Wednesday we discuss it and we watch a video. And I've done that off and on. I did that for 2-3 years, and then they needed somebody to work the kitchen for a while. So I worked the kitchen. I like working kitchen. I wasn't the right person to be in there for that because I don't know. I cleaned up good and everything, but it was just, it was just not a joyous experience. You know, I fed the kids cleaned up and got out of there, you know? So then I went back to doing classes again after they had found somebody who could do the job. Well, I'm already part of a level up group where we go through a book a month and discuss it a couple of nights a month. I'm already doing all kinds of other reading and prayer journal and everything like that in the evening. And I really just needed a break from intensive Bible study in the evening. And I know 15, 20 minutes is not that much, but if you miss a night or two because you're at a basketball game or a softball game or whatever, it gets caught up. You get behind pretty quickly. So I didn't want to do that whenever through this summer. And it just kind of so happened, I thought, well, you know, we've got the clothing ministry and I work there too. So I was thinking, okay, Wednesday night is a good time to change the marquee to whatever's happening to the next week. I can do that. And then I can work in the clothing ministry. Well, there's several kids and ladies who like to go to the clothing ministry on Wednesday night anyway. So a lot of the time we go into the kitchen because those ladies and people, well, men too, they're all in there. They're serving the kids. They're doing it joyously. Right. And I was not so joyous. I just like, okay, eat, let's go. Cause my problem is I give them something eating. I don't like that. Well, that just makes me irritated. These guys are much better at it than I am. They get in there and they serve people. If they don't like it, they turn around, find something else that they can feed them. And they don't even have a bad attitude about it at all. And sometimes I think my middle name is bad attitude, but it's fun. And we've got one of the men is on the school board. One of the ladies is the wife of one of the coaches. And sometimes the coach shows up, you know, I think he's a basketball coach and he's a teacher up there. And so there's several people in this kitchen. The kitchen has always been a cool hangout. And that was probably what my problem is when I'm working, I want to get on my way so I can get the work done. But these guys, they joyously hang out. They're doing dishes, serving kids, serving people, doing things. And then where the rest of us can hang out, it's hard to stay out of the way, even as big as the kitchen is. But it's so cool. And it's been a gathering place to learn things, to learn, you know, how many foreign exchange students we're going to have this year. Oh, we got new coaches coming in. Oh, how's this going? And what's going to happen here? You know, so it's been really cool. And then once they get the kids served and stuff and we get a little bit cleaned up, there's two or three of us ladies will go over to the clothing ministry. And usually by that time I'm tired. It's like 7 o'clock at night. I've had a long day and I just let them in. I sit on the couch. The ladies go shopping and we talk. And it's kind of our ladies' time to talk. And, I don't know, the whole experience has been really cool for me. Apparently I've needed this, you know, I have some autistic tendency. So I have a tendency to say dumb things or I don't know. There are some things I have trouble with connecting when it comes to communicating with people one-on-one. So I'm getting better with that as I get older. Thank God. But I still have to watch my tongue about what I say and stuff. But I don't know. These ladies are really fun and introspective in some ways too. I'm learning a lot. I'm getting a lot out of this. And I'm really glad for these gatherings on Wednesday night. And so, yeah, I don't know. Oh, and you know, we're talking about how fun the people are and stuff. My story of the day, I've got a couple of them. The first one is, Monday, the lady who does the Paloxine classes on Friday, she filled in for somebody else on Monday. And we haven't done Zumba. And this lady rocks at Zumba. I love her Zumba class. We laugh. We do Zumba. We're exercising and we're laughing so hard. We can't, she tries something new with us. And we had a dance off, like we were separate on two different parts of the stage or the room, and we were in a competition with whoever's across the room, and we were doing moves that a 60-year-old woman probably shouldn't be doing. So I'm laughing so hard, and one lady, she was so funny, and she was trying to be funny, don't get me wrong, she was doing a twerky thing, but she was actually almost standing on her hands doing it. You gotta know, she's a short, round lady. I don't know. She might be as old as 70. She's not. I think she's older than she looks, but she had me laughing so hard. I'm yelling, we can't win this competition if all I'm doing is leaning over laughing, because I was laughing hard. But we had a ball. I had a wonderful time. My foot hurt so bad all the way through it, but I didn't care. I was going to do Zumba. But I just laughed and laughed and laughed. And the same thing on Wednesday night. One of the things when the ladies found over in the clothing ministry was a cute little wig with like the like little flipped up hair and, you know, a short wig with hair flipped up, kind of like an 80s style type thing. And she can get into some character. She's a pretty good little actress. And so she rolled up a piece of cardboard paper. She's acting like it was a cigarette. And she's talking to her husband. She's going, honey, honey, come here. Come here and see me. Come here and see me. You know, that type of thing. And I'm just laughing. I'm just laughing in my head just so hard. Well, we're laughing and I'm going out the door. And I can't remember something about laughing. And one of the other men who was dealing, I think he was with the youth, he goes, we always know when you're near because you are always laughing. And I thought, okay, that's kind of cool because I love to laugh. That's the one thing I really, really love to do is laugh. And if that's where they went, how they know I'm there is because they hear me laughing. Okay, I'm good with that. So I don't know. It's been kind of cool. I really are getting a lot of Wednesday. Because in the Wednesday, like women's class, so when we miss you, I'm going, well, I miss you guys too, but I'm getting fed a different way. And I'm really enjoying what I'm getting now. And I don't know. I'm laughing. I'm enjoying life. I'm having a good time to the best of my ability between pigs and storm damage and stuff like that. But if you know that I'm around because I'm laughing, I'm happy with that too. Okay. So I don't have a question of the day. I have as a question of the day, but I do want to tell you, I want to encourage you to laugh. Laugh, guys. You know, I'm always telling you to live until you die. Well, laughing is part of living. Enjoy your life. Do things that you want to do. Do things that, I mean, we've all got things that we have to do too, but do what you can to make it enjoyable. Make it where you are laughing and having a good time and enjoying your time on earth. God put you on this earth for so many reasons. He's here for you. He put you here for some specific people. He put you here to do specific things. He put you here to learn specific things. But if nothing else, regardless of what's going on, laugh and live, guys. I'm serious. Live until you die. Okay, so my income producing activity of the day is Podmatch. I'm kind of enjoying Podmatch. I've done 2 or 3 interviews with some of these ladies. I'm looking forward to doing some more. This is a website where if you are a podcaster and you want to interview people, you can sign up for that side of it. Or if you are someone who wants to be interviewed, and there's a lot of people who are life coaches and stuff like that, and they want to do, or they've just written a book, and so they hook up with these different podcasts and they can do interviews with them. Well, I'm done right now. I'm just doing interviews with other people on their podcasts. I have this podcast, but I haven't done anything where I can interview anybody else yet. I don't know when. For some reason, I'm not feeling ready to do that yet. But podmatch.com, if you have anything to do with podcasting at all and you want to check into that, I would recommend it. You fill out a bio, you fill out what your podcast is about, or you fill about what you want to talk about and stuff. And they will find matches like 3 a day, which is plenty. Cause if you think about it, if you go in there and look up 3 different ones, that gives you like 3 different podcasts to listen to and learn their style, learn what they're talking about and how it goes. And it's even a match for you. So, I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I've done 2 or 3, podcast with other ladies. I'm having a good time with it. It's just a matter of me doing research on some others that I've been matched up with and see if it's a good fit or anything, but I'm liking it. So just go down to my link below and go through podmatch.com or that link to podmatch.com and check them out. And it doesn't cost you anything else. If you decide to sign up, I get a little bit of a commission out of it. Okay. Where I can be found, grandmashomestead.farm. That's my website. I try to do weekly posts and tell them what's going on. I tell you what's happening on the farm, like what I do here now, but I've also link you to videos and to this podcast and different things. So, and then whenever I can get to it, I'll try to post some recipes and stuff on there too. There's a lot of things I want to do with it. I just haven't done it yet, but that's grandmashomestead.farm. My main YouTube channel is Grandma's Homestead YouTube channel, Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. I'm on Instagram. I don't do as much on Instagram as I should, but I do put things on there. Like yesterday, I just put some pictures of some zucchini and yellow squash that I dehydrated and put them in jars. You know, sometimes I put little reels up. I was putting up reels of the piglets when they were real young and cute. And I put that on my Instagram page. And that's Thecia Ellis. I think it's called at Thecia Ellis. And so that's my Instagram page. And so I can also be found on TikTok and Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, and Rumble. I haven't done anything else, I don't think. I don't remember. All under versions of Thecia Ellis of some form or another. So those are all the places that I can be found. And that's all I got for you today. But you know what? I really do want to encourage you to laugh. I want to encourage you to live until you die. I want you to enjoy your time on this earth, no matter however long it is. Like I've said also before, like what we've learned from Jack Spirico, you've got your dash, that when you look at your tombstone, there's a day that you were born and then there was a day that you died. And that dash in between is what we're all living in through here right now. And when you die, or let me rephrase that, when I die and I go meet God, I'm going to have a lot of things to atone for. And it's not going to be fun, but I want to be able to look at God and say, you know what, with all the stupid things I've done, with all the mistakes I've made, I lived to the best of my ability. I did watch some television. I did do some things like that. But to the best of my ability, I got up every day and lived. All right, guys, that's all I got for you today. God bless. I'll see you next time.